Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we'll play more of the Trump stuff for you. Trump was in Mexico, and World War III did not break out. Yeah. That was to me, that is the headline. What a fascinating day for Donald Trump today. Actually, I think, as much as I've been critical of Mr. Trump, I think he had a very, very good day down in Mexico, and we'll talk about what happened there coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Richard Roper is going to be here at 6 o'clock. He's going to get you ready for the Labor Day weekend. All the movies there, the last big blockbuster weekend of the year. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the studios might have run out of material. So we'll talk about that.
That's not good.
Right. Trump Trump might have something to do with that, too. I don't want anybody doing anything in November. All right. But now, this is interesting. Faisal Khan, who's a regular on the program here, no relation, is the CEO and president of the government watchdog nonprofit Project Six. And Faisal used to be the guy who was in charge, the IG for the city council of the city of Chicago.
Until the council yanked his budget.
Yes. And then the council said, wait, we got a guy
investigating us?
Who sits around and looks at what we're doing, and we're paying him to do that?
That's we don't have money for that.
That's a dumb thing to do. We're in a budget crisis here. Kill him. And they did. But not before you were able to at least get some of your files to the federal government and show them what you'd already found. So I guess that's an act of good government right there. We'll just have to see where that lands. Mm-hmm. But he's keeping up his work here in Chicago and doing this independently and raising funds to do this, which I think is very, very, very fascinating. And this has come to your attention, that the same kinds of things that are now tripping up Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail in terms of use of private email addresses, servers, think off the books communications, if you will, but off the books communications about government-ish kinds of things are being done by the city council and city employees as well, right?
Yeah, unfortunately so. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
We looked at aldermanic email. We looked at their private emails, their websites, and what we found was 19 of them, over a third of them, are using private email to do government work. Unless you've been living on under a rock for the last year, you know that you simply should not be doing government work unless it's on government email and servers. We see it with Hillary Clinton. We see it in Chicago with the University of Illinois Chancellor. We see it with Barbara Bird Bennett when her emails came to light. Mm-hmm. And most recently, we saw it with Rahm Emanuel, that he had to be sued by the Tribune in order for him to turn over his private email where he was doing his government work on that. So this is not a surprise issue to anyone at this point.
But is it illegal for them to do that?
Well, it's against city policy. City policies are clear in that the Department of Innovation and Technology, who issues email to everyone, Anna, it says that you cannot be doing private work or your government work on private email or private servers. Their policies are clear on this.
So, okay, let's be clear. Policy is different than law.
Correct.
So this is a traffic ticket, essentially, for them if they're doing it.
Well, in a sense, what we're talking about is that the courts have been clear that if you are doing government work on private email, we have a right to access that email. And we just saw it happen with the police department, that now the attorney general says that we can access police officers' private email when they're talking about the case, say, Laquan McDonald. Mm-hmm. So the case law is clear in this area.
Or texting, too. Right?
Or texting. There's no right to privacy in this area. And let's be honest about this. The only reason aldermen...
Why should we start now?
The only reason aldermen and other elected officials do this is because they want to keep secrets. They don't want us to know what they're talking about. They don't want us to know who they're dealing with or how much money is involved. And the reasons are endless. And so that's why we have the ability to FOIA something. That's why the courts gave us that ability, so we can go in and look at our elected officials' emails and records and see who and what they're dealing with and how they're affecting and spending our taxpayer money.
I want to ask you how that's done, though, as a matter of what happens in terms of procedure. Because in the Hillary Clinton case, she was told to turn over all of her work-related emails. And then it came to light that, well, she held some stuff back. And maybe some stuff that has to do with Benghazi, who knows, whatever. There is some stuff held back. What are the rules about politicians and members of government? About do they get to go in and figure out which ones they're going to turn over? Or is there some sort of other way of determining what you want to, you know, the things that might be work related?
In theory, Anna, you're right. When you FOIA something with the city of Chicago, let's say, the city of Chicago generally asks you for what you're looking for, and that may mean give us a search term. So if I was looking if Hillary Clinton was an alderman and I wanted to find out about Whitewater or some other random thing, I would actually have to say, please send me any and all emails from going to or from Hillary Clinton with the search term Whitewater. Now, we don't know if they use code or not. We don't know if mm-hmm. that word is ever actually mentioned. So that's an inherent roadblock built into the system. And because oftentimes the government will deny our requests because they'll say it's too burdensome. The search is too broad. There's 14,000 emails. We simply don't have time to go through them and review that. And that's bad government. That's bad policy that inhibits transparency. And it simply should not be that way.
Okay. Having said that, though, where are we now? We understand that they're doing this. There is investigation. Is this who's doing the investigation? How far along are they? Do we know if anything's been found?
No. I can tell you that we did our investigation. We found that 19 of them are using their private emails. 45 of them have their own private websites that under the guise of official city websites, 34 of them.
So they're like their aldermanic, their ward website, if you will.
Yeah, basically.
But that's a political website, not a government website.
Some of them keep both, Ro. Some of them have a political website and an official website, but you cannot.
Are they doing on their political website, if like you need your garbage can picked up or something, they're doing that or replaced?
Absolutely. And if you go to our website, thesecret6.com, or you go on our Facebook page, you can take a look at the report where there's a nice big spreadsheet that lists out all of these aldermen and tells you what their site names are, what their emails are. And some of them even have donate buttons on their websites. So while you're requesting that you need a garbage can, as you point out, or you need something fixed on your street, there's a nice big fat donate button right underneath.
Hey, welcome to the 21st century. Hey, how you doing? Hey, we don't look at that. We don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Good governments. This is what's going on over here.
Of the ones who were using the private emails, the aldermen that you found, 19 of them, were any of their emails on the private email that they were using, were they FOIA-able? Did anyone effectively get any of those emails through the Freedom of Information Act?
Not that I'm aware of yet, and that's something we intend to do down the road is let's see if they actually turn over the emails like they're supposed to. I believe some of them have been interviewed and said sure they would turn them over if they were ever asked, but we'll see when that actually comes to pass at this point. But the reality is, and is that they simply shouldn't be using it in the first place. Mm-hmm. The argument that it's not a big deal or it is simply not a valid one. They spend money on their private servers and private emails. That's money that's yours. It's taxpayer money most of the time. So to argue that it's easier for them to do that and more convenient is simply nonsensical. The city of Chicago has encrypted servers. It has secure servers. They offer website services to every department in the city. So there's absolutely no reason that they shouldn't be offering it to aldermen, and aldermen shouldn't be taking advantage of that.
Yeah. Except then they'll know what we're doing. I mean, hey, Faisal, I mean, come on. You got to give a guy a break here, right? I mean, let's face it. This is not this job's a lot harder than it appears. You know what I mean? You hear me?
You know what the problem is? I think we've given him a break for far too long.
Well, I think that's right.
And that's why we're here in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Cut off his funding.
How much did we give him? $2 next year. What happened in the Hillary Clinton situation with the FBI saying there were no criminal charges? There was nothing she did that was criminally chargeable,
sure.
But that she was extremely careless. Do you think that the message from that goes to other public officials to say, hey, it's okay, let's do it this way too? Or are they actually in danger of being charged in some way criminally?
I think that it would all depend, obviously, on the conduct of what they're engaging in and what's actually in the emails that we're talking about. Until we look, we simply won't know. And look, let me make it clear. I don't want to say that just because aldermen are using their private email, that means they're engaging in corruption.
Exactly right. That is exactly right.
But what it means is that we simply don't know. That you are lumped in with the people that are engaging in corruption because you've taken on this practice, which is simply not a good precedent to set.
How many aldermen would make the argument? And I'm not sure I don't know how free you are to discuss your mechanics in this investigation, but did you talk to aldermen about this directly?
No, we didn't. My understanding is media outlets have talked to them about this, and the predominant excuse offered is that it's not a big deal.
I would imagine from at least, you said it's 19 of them. I would guess from 12 to 19, they're like, I don't know how to use the government email anyway, because I don't know. I mean, the funny thing is, it is very interesting to me. And if you spend some time with aldermen or other government officials, especially in the city of Chicago. This is less true at the state and federal level, but at least in the city of Chicago, you'll notice that a lot of them are using flip phones. And I didn't even realize you could still get a flip phone. I don't know how.
Where no one else in the general population has a flip phone except for the aldermen.
Right. And there's a reason for that, because you can't track the flip phone, because they're not texting. They don't want things in writing. If you want to make a phone call, you make a phone call. And even that's kind of tough. The flip phone, you have to have a subpoena. There's a whole thing for an overhear that's a pretty complicated process. And then now, at least, the law has changed so that you can now target. You used to have to just target a phone number for an overhear. Now you can target an individual for an overhear, and then all the phone numbers associated with that individual. Yeah. Right? That Rob Blagojevich found that out the hard way. But they're harder to track. And I just, anytime I see a politician pull out a flip phone and start talking on it, I realize they're up to no good. There's something like that, because you got to work really hard to get a flip phone. Right? AT&T or Verizon or whoever you got, they're going to upgrade you for like no money. They're going to give you an iPhone 4 or something.
Probably throw you a few $100 at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Also.
They just want you on the thing, right? And it would be cheaper. The flip phone probably costs them $150 a month just to have that.
Right.
Right? Without a data plan, because it's like sending Morse code, and that's the way they like it.
The reality is, and as I said earlier, is that the only benefit of not being on a city server or not using city email is so you can keep your information confidential. And it's the ability of aldermen to gather information without us knowing about it. Yes. And that's the inherent problem, and that's what needs to go away. We talk about this being a world-class city, yet we're still engaging in practices that are third-world country practices.
People want to get a hold of you. Project 6, it's at thesecret6.com. Very cool website. It scares me when I go to it, because it's got those grainy pictures of like City Hall and things like that. You're putting the Vaseline on the lens of the camera to make everything look just a little glossy and a little film noir.
And we try, thank you.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. And you're up. You're doing God's work, Faisal, and that's the important thing.
Thank you.
So, all right, appreciate it. We've got Violetta. Who? Violetta Podramatic.
No relation there.
Right, exactly. She might be related to me in some way. Violetta Podramatic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.